Take your Bibles quickly, because time is fleeting. Amen. If you would please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. If you are physically able, Job chapter 12. We are making progress. And so we're going to look at just five verses tonight. Job chapter 12. I'll begin in verse 1 and you can follow along silently. And Job answered and said, "No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just, upright man is laughed to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease." That's kind of the thought that I want you to get a hold of tonight, is that we can know for sure of our God. No matter the circumstances, no matter what's mounting against us, God is a knowable being. So we can know God. And unfortunately, Job's friends, and then Job at the beginning, but now Job is getting bolder and bolder, as he should. You understand that they didn't know completely what God was capable of. You understand that we have quite a bit of an advantage having the Word of God. We get to know kind of all of the stories. Like, for instance, maybe at that time in history, nothing like this had ever happened to someone like this before. So maybe they didn't have complete knowledge that this was possible, that God would allow something like this to happen to such a righteous man. I'll give them that, okay? Maybe they didn't think that that could happen. Maybe they didn't know that that could happen. But guess what? It could happen, because it did. And so we see that. Now, just a quick review. Zophar joined in with his two other friends and spoke against Job in chapter 11. His accusations were stronger and more critical than the other two men. He literally called Job a liar, one who had mocked God, and one who was trying to cover up his fault by much speaking. Remember that? Okay? So you understand that as we look at that, we're going to see why Job answered how he answered. Okay, because how many of you, being righteous, really despise when someone says you're not righteous? Right? Or if you do love and worship God and are right with God, if you will, and someone says you're not, you don't really take kindly to that. Right? Now, Job answers, by the way, Zophar, Bildad, and Eliphaz all have completely misjudged Job. By the way, they've also misjudged God and his intentions. It says, although Zophar and his advice would have been great for the wicked, it did not apply to Job. Okay, so we've already talked about all of that. Now, if you look at what Job says here in answering, verse 1 is self-sufficient, and Job answered and said. Okay, that's easy. You don't have to go through that. There's not really much to say. But I like what it says here next. He says, "No doubt, but ye are the people." That's kind of interesting, right? I mean, how many of you have thought about that comment? He says, "No doubt, but ye are," excuse me, "the people." Now, he clarifies that statement and says, "And wisdom shall die with you." Okay, so that second part gives us an idea of the tone of the first part. Okay? What he's saying is, you gentlemen are conceited. You're full of yourselves. You think that you are the judges of all. You think that you know everything. You think you know God, and you're the only ones that can know God. He says, you're the people. You're it's kind of almost kind of like saying, you know, you're the man, you know, or you're the one that has it all under control, okay? And he says, no, you don't get it, guys. You think that you're way above me. You're the people. He says, you think you're the ones that are know about God and are right with God and can take the time to judge me. He says, but your wisdom, he says, your wisdom shall die with you. They have high opinions concerning their own wisdom, concerning their own ideas, and concerning their judgment toward their friend. Folks, that's the ultimate description of being conceited. When you think you know everything and nobody else knows anything, you're conceited. You're full of yourself. You're so arrogant and proud. And by the way, we'll learn later on that God tells them to ask Job to pray for them. Because of their misconceptions about God and about Job. You know, it should be important to us. Take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Now, I hope you understand this. That's why God gives us warnings in the scriptures about our attitude toward the judgments of God. Now, you remember what Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, you know, Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount and all this stuff that he's talking about here. Please remember the attitude of this particular passage of scripture. The Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what meat, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Okay, so you understand that's kind of the theme here of what's going on. So go back to Job chapter 12. Job says this, and he says, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Now, Job is now giving a very pointed defense. Okay, he's saying, stop treating me as an unequal. He says, you are saying I'm a liar. You're saying I'm a hypocrite. You're saying that I don't love God. You're saying that I don't worship God. You're saying that I'm wicked. You're saying that I deserve all of these judgments, and yet you are not. He said, I'm not inferior to you. By the way, we know that to be true because, by the way, I would even venture to say he was superior to them, not inferior. This man made sacrifice on a regular basis. God said he was a just man, right? He was upright. He was one that feared God. He was one that eschewed evil. He set up the altar. He made sacrifice, even to the point that he made sacrifice just in case his children had done something against God. Now, I think that's going over and above or beyond what is necessary, if you will, right? He was going out of his way to be right with God. So I would say that that's probably far superior to anything Bildad or Zophar or Eliphaz ever did. No, I don't know that. I'm just taking a wild stab in the dark at it, okay? Now, understand, he's getting pointed here. He says this, he says, but I have understanding as well as you. He said, you are so conceited, you think you're the only ones that know these things. You think you're the only ones that have this wisdom. You think you're the only ones that have this knowledge. Please understand that no one person has a monopoly on the wisdom of God. We don't. Our thoughts are way lower than his thoughts, right? They're not equal to God. And by the way, I've told you before, and I believe it to be true, I do not believe that the human mind can completely exhaust the knowledge of this book. Now, there may be some that know more about the wisdom of God than others. I'm okay with that. All right? But please understand, don't think that even all the wisdom that you have gleaned and learned and understood from the Word of God, that's great. But that doesn't give you the authority to lord over someone else. So these men thought that was their position in life, to lord over their friend and to make judgment on him based on what they knew about God, because that was all there was to know. No, that wasn't all there was to know. They obviously didn't know this part about God. That God would go to such lengths to do this for... And by the way, can I tell you something? As a preacher of the gospel and in being in the ministry officially now 20 years, and I think we decided what, 15 days maybe or something like that? Okay? So happy anniversary to me. It's been 20 years that I've been in the ministry. Can I tell you something? I lost my thought. See, there it went. Whew. Gone. I don't know what I was going to say. I was going to say something really good. But I don't know everything. I haven't experienced everything, but I've experienced a lot of stuff. And you understand that I don't have a monopoly on wisdom. I don't know more than you do. And so how dare I judge every circumstance? I don't know what God's doing in your life. And so it's not fair for us to do that. And by the way, the experiences that we have with God may not be the same as what somebody else has with God. And I told you this before. I don't know what God is doing in your life. And you don't know what God is doing in my life. And I could participate in some particular sin 100 times. And nothing happened to me. And you could participate in that particular sin 1 time and something tragic happens to you. We can't explain that. I can't explain the long-suffering of God. I can't explain why God allows some things to happen to some people and other things to happen to other people. And some people don't seem like anything happens to them. I can't explain all of that. Nor do we have to. But what we can know is we can know our God. And we can trust His judgment. And we can trust Him. He says this, and Job says, I'm not inferior to you, yea, who knoweth not such things as these. So he's basically kind of, now he's pushing back a little bit. He's saying, anybody can know this stuff, guys. You're not special. Okay, that's what that means. You understand that, right? He says, look, anyone can know these things. He said, I do have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. He says, yea, who knoweth not such things as these? He says, neighbor Bill over here knows them. And neighbor Bill's cousin Susie knows this stuff. You know, anybody can know it. You guys don't have the monopoly on this. You don't have complete wisdom and complete understanding. I know these things. You know these things. And you're trying to say that I don't know these things. And that's just not true. So then he goes on. He says, I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him, the just upright man is laughed to scorn. Okay, so he says, look guys, I'm your neighbor. And I'm as one mocked of his neighbor. He says, you're mocking me even though I call upon God, even though I know these things, even though God answers me, even though I'm right with God and I'm just with God and I've sacrificed before God. And he says, you're mocking me, you're laughing me to scorn, even though I am just and upright. And he basically says to them, now think about this. What's wrong with you guys? You see what's going on here? He's kind of throwing it back at him a little bit. And listen to verse 5. He says, he that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. So think about that statement for a moment. He says basically that if you're at ease, you despise the thought of needing a lamp. Because you don't need a lamp. You're at ease. And he says, look, you're on the other side of this, guys. Nobody's judging you. Nobody's taking away all of your goods. No one's taking away all of your children. No one has done this to you. And basically he's telling them, for all intents and purposes in our vernacular today, put the shoe on the other foot, guys. You're not in this position that I'm in. And if you were, would I be saying this to you? And by the way, I don't think Job would. How about that? Newsflash. I don't think Job was that kind of guy. No, I don't know that to be true, but it seems like it. But Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar are those guys. So he says this, he says, he that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. Job reminds them that their talk and their themes are plain and common. The folly of the wicked, the way of repentance, the greatness of God, the chastisement on sin from God. And even though they spoke truth about these subjects, they did not even have enough wisdom to see clearly his situation. And he's telling them, look, you are at ease. You are, this is not your problem. So of course you think you see this clearly, but you don't. And that's what that particular phrase basically means. And so this despising of the lamp is a telling that they don't see clearly what God is doing in Job's life, because they're not in this situation. They're on the outside looking in, and they're trying to judge something they know nothing about. Because has this ever happened to them? No. Has this ever happened to someone that they know? No. All they know is that God judges the wicked. And by the way, let me just say this. Does God always immediately judge the wicked? Now we know ultimately all the wicked will be judged. But can I tell you something? There are times in this life when the wicked are not judged in this life. Did you know that? They're judged in the afterlife. See, why does God allow them to live and fare so sumptuously every day? You see where I'm going with this? Remember that story? The rich man and Lazarus. Right? Was the rich man punished in this life? No. He fared sumptuously every day. As far as we know, until the time of his death. And in hell. Right? Where did his judgment come? Afterwards. Why did God allow that? I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me. But we don't get to see all of that. And so it's not for you or I to judge, but it's for God to judge. So guess what? We should let God be God and let him judge what he will. And what we should do is we should have enough understanding and enough wisdom to know that God does get to do what he wants to do. So what Job is trying to tell his friends is, look, you should not be judging me because you don't know everything. He says, I am not inferior to you. I am righteous. You are mocking me when God answers me when I call upon him. He says, you don't see things clearly. You're despising the thought of light, and because you're at ease, you're the one that's at ease, and you're not seeing things for what they are. I'm the one out here slipping, and you're the ones that are at ease. So how are you to say what you see or don't see? You understand that when we misjudge, we are filled with pride, and we think we know more than we know. But we really don't. And we need to be careful of those things. Oftentimes we're tempted to be harsh in our views of those that we differ from or that we see in their lives some anomaly. We want to think that we know why they're going through that. You probably have no clue why they're going through what they're going through. It's a temptation for us to be the judge of others. That's why I read that verse to you, those verses rather, in Matthew chapter 7. That's a common temptation for us as human beings. But we need to, first of all, know our God. And then second of all, let our God be God. He's the one that knows. And you know what? The third thing that I want to just emphasize is that we need to stand up and say that God is God. Job was not afraid now. He's finding his voice. I hope you understand this as he goes on. He's been through Eliphaz, and he was a little bit timid, if you will, coming out of that one. He got a little stronger with Bildad, and now he is ready. He has put the gloves on, and he is ready to punch back at Zophar. Because Zophar basically, if you will, called him a liar and a mocker of God. And Job said, that's it. I'm fighting back. You know what? Yes, we're supposed to be gentle. We've been learning it. We're not supposed to strive. But there's sometimes we got to punch back, folks. And just say, no, you can't say that. Because that's not true. You know, at that door, I was talking to you about this lady. I was not afraid to tell her that I believed something different than she believed. I said, ma'am, I want you to know that I believe the Bible is true by faith. I said, I have chosen to believe that the account that God gives in this book is the truth. And I said, if I believe that, then I'm sorry, but that makes what you believe a lie. And I wasn't being rude. I wasn't striving with her. I wasn't arguing with her. But I wanted to tell her the truth. I knew I needed to tell her the truth. Because guess what? Unless she comes to that realization and an agreement, she will never be saved. The young man, I'm almost embarrassed. I forgot to tell you about him. Please pray for Virgil. He's in his 30s. The devil has got him snookered. And he is this close to heaven. This close. And all he's got to do is call upon Christ to save him. He knows how. He knows why he needs to. He is this close. But he kept telling me, he said, I'm just not good enough for God. I'm sure he's done some awful things in his life. I told him, Virgil, it doesn't matter. God still wants you to be saved. And you know what? I contended with him for quite some time. Our soul winning team had the time and ability to pick up two puppies in the time that I talked to Virgil. They followed us all the way back to our van. They wanted to go home with us. If you know, a little inside joke, there's dogs all over the reservation. They're everywhere. Some nice ones, some not so nice ones. Anyways, pray for Virgil. But you know what? We got to take a stand about the God that we know. And not be afraid to do so. So let God be God. And let God do what God's going to do. And take a stand for God. We're going to talk more about this next time. But consider these thoughts as we consider what Job is talking to his friends about. Let us remember that we do not have to have all the answers. And that we do make mistakes. But we must make sure that we are not conceited in our thoughts about what God is doing with other people's lives.